This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey, sports fans, Christmas is come and gone, and the Super Bowl is quickly approaching. We've seen what our teams are capable of this year, and now it's time to get those last bets in before the big Super Bowl. Will the Ravens be able to get it done? Will Brady and the Patriots get themselves another ring? I bet you have a feeling. Head over to mybookie.ag and make your predictions a reality. MyBookie is one of the most trusted in the industry. If you're looking for a sports book to make your bets for the bowl games, MyBookie's where you want to go. Football not your thing? No worries. MyBookie's got it all. From NBA to NHL to Premier League, they have the fastest payouts, best promotions, and very helpful 24/7 customer service. You can even pool your bets together for bigger payouts. Let's say you have a couple big favorites this week. Parlay those wagers. You can bet multiple games together. And if they come through, you win big. MyBookie has more lines, better odds for the player than any other sports book out there. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. Which means if you deposit $200, you'll get an extra $100 in free play money for free. All you have to do is use the promo code THPN to activate the offer. Once again, that promo code is THPN to get extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Well, Dreisaitl didn't keep his word. Well, Cassian? And did the good nature of the All-Star meeting calm the waters? Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. I am host of the show, Brad Berube. Episode 35 already. Wow, we're cruising through the season. January 26, 2020. It is a late Sunday evening. And I'm ready to get back to hockey. I don't know how you guys are, but this long break is killing me, man. Ugh. Another All-Star game come and gone. Hate the All-Star game. Don't want to talk about that. We will a little bit on the show, not too much. I'm ready for some Flames hockey. It's been a long break. And usually I kind of, you know, in this time of year, I'm like, I'm okay with a little bit of a break. I'm all right with it. Not this year so much. I think it's just the anticipation. The Battle of Alberta's back. Both teams are relevant. I'm excited. I am excited for Wednesday night. But don't forget Tuesday night. We got a big game Tuesday night, but we'll get to that. An All-Star break. Flames Oilers coming back. Got them this weekend. I watched the All-Star break, and I thought it was interesting seeing how some of the Oilers players and Flames players interacted. They could look kind of like buddies. Talk a little bit more about that on the show. I just wondered how Cassian was sitting on his couch wondering what he was thinking. Was he mad at Dreisaitl? I don't know. Dreisaitl didn't keep his word. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be some very difficult games for the Flames coming up. Defending champs on Tuesday. Round 3 of the Battle of Alberta on Wednesday, and then round 4 on Saturday. Wow. Big games. Let's just pray that the comeback after the break this year is not like last year. Could we be the opposite of last year's team? We were god-awful after the break last year, and I just pray we're good after the break this year because we've been okay so far this year. That's how I would describe it, okay. On this episode, this is going to be an action-packed. Man, the next 3 episodes we do are going to be balls-to-the-wall good. Today we're going to recap All-Star Weekend, including interviews with Riddick, Tkachuk, and MacInnis. We're going to have another Battle of Alberta roundtable, number 3, with my buddies from Oil Country Podcast, John Boughton and Kyle Brandt. Always entertaining talking to those guys. Those are 2 guys, man. Once I get on with them, it's good, it's interesting. Got a Facebook poll. How should he handle the next Battle of Alberta? lots of responses from my fans on Facebook, some good results. Then we're going to preview that St. Louis at Calgary Tuesday night and the Calgary-Edmonton game Wednesday night, round three of the Battle of Alberta.
Every team, everywhere, the Hot Podcast Network.
Hey, the Hockey Podcast Network, which Flames Unfiltered is super proud to be part of, has got a new and exciting podcast called Ice Analytics. It's a deep dive into hockey analytics, statistical analysis, attendance is on there. They talk everything related to the inner analytics of hockey. Some guys are big analytics guys, some guys aren't. Entertaining to listen whether you're into analytics or not. I love when these episodes come out. I look forward to listening to them. Check that out on the Hockey Podcast Network. All right, Flames fans, no games to recap. That's the last time I say that till the playoffs, I hope, huh? All-Star game recap. Let's talk a little bit about it, huh? Friday night skills competition. I don't know. Silly at times, good at other times. My favorite was when former Calgary Flame Al MacInnis came out and let her rip over 100 miles an hour with a good old Sherwood PMP 5030. Fun to see him out there again. We're going to hear an interview with him later on in the show here. I also thought, you know, Giordano competed in the hardest shot. Kachuk in the stands, shot out of the stands, which is silly. I did love what he did, though, with the Cardinals jersey, having his dad and brother up there. Lots of cheers from the St. Louis fans. Fun to see that. That was a good, I guess, highlight of the All-Star competition for me. All-Star game itself, the Pacific Division wins that. They win $1 million. They beat the Central 10-5 in the first round, beat the Atlantic 5-4 in the second. Matthew Tkachuk gets a game one. He had two goals, two assists. Set up Draisaitl on a beauty. Yes, Edmonton fans, he set up Draisaitl on a beauty. A play that you're only going to see in an All-Star game, but still pretty cool. Game two, he had two assists. Giordano, game one, gets an assist. Game two gets an assist. Riddick may have been one of the best players in the All-Star game. Goalie, I was so happy to see him out there and so happy to see him doing a good job. I really like David Riddick. He is a comical guy. Lots of fun. Had a great interview for you to listen to about his All-Star experience and a little bit about what we've been talking about for about 3 weeks now, Matthew Tkachuk.
Of course, to you, this is your first All-Star game. First of all, how does it feel to be here?
It's awesome. It's awesome feeling. You know, best players on the board in a couple locker rooms in one city. It's really good.
Not a lot of goalies get to go to the All-Star game. What does it say that you're here right now? I mean, is it an honor?
Honestly, I was probably the last pick what I can pick from our division. So I'm glad I can be here. It's awesome. And honestly, I never think about All-Star games for me because, you know, it's too many good goalies in the league and a lot of goalies deserve it too. So,
what do you make of this Pacific Division, you know, logjam at the top? I mean, it's got to be exciting.
I mean, it's probably more fun than to try to win, right? So I'm going to enjoy every single day, every single time what I can be here and. I'm not thinking about winning right now.
Have you had a chance to talk to Matthew Tkachuk about playing here in St. Louis?
Honestly, we didn't talk about it, but I know he's going to be humming. He's going to be all over the place this year.
Now, from a distance here in St. Louis, has kind of the, you know, drama over the Tkachuk-Cassian hit kind of simmered down a little bit, or is it still pretty fever pitch?
It doesn't pinch me. You should ask Edmonton, guys. It's a hockey. It's a tough game, it's rough, and that's a part of hockey. It's going to happen once in a while, someone's going to hit someone. I know it's a little different than it was. We're not allowed to fight anymore like the guys before us could, but I mean, it's still hockey, and hit or be hit, it's part of hockey.
Anyone in particular during the All-Star game you're looking forward to, like, maybe going one-on-one with, you know, trying to stop? I mean, has there been someone you've been dreaming of just stonewalling?
I mean, I play against most of those guys, so I've probably already been scored or I already stayed them. So it's not just one guy what I'm looking to meet him or to do something with him. It's a big group of really good hockey players, really good people.
That's David Reddick prior to the All-Star game during media day, talking a little bit about his All-Star experience. And it's funny how the talk always goes back to Matthew Tkachuk. Flame great Al MacInnis. Great interview with him, and he brings it back to Matthew Tkachuk also.
Keith Tkachuk has two sons in the All-Star game.
Yeah, the rich get richer, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no. It's incredible, but I was talking to another gentleman just earlier, and you know, when Keith would bring his boys around the dressing room, they always had a hockey stick in their hand. You could tell they had love and passion for the game. They were on the ice after practice. They were on the ice before our practice, and that's the neat thing. Like you're given so much God-given talent. But you got to love the game. You got to have that passion to get to their level, and that's exactly what they did.
Matthew Tkachuk, in your old team, plays the game interestingly.
Yeah.
How would you describe the way he plays the game?
I think he plays the game. I think it's awesome. I think he brings a lot of energy. He brings his teammates into the mix. And I think that's something that our game is missing, as fast and as skilled as the game is, we still need emotion. We still need to bring the fans into it. We still need to bring the fans out of their seat. And it's not always have to be a great play or a great goal, you know. It can be a good hit. It can be a scrum. I mean, it's been said many times, there's not many people going to get a hot dog when a scrum breaks out or a fight breaks out. But the two boys, they're... You got to love the way they play. They show grit. They go to the hard areas. They know where they have to go to score and produce. Like, they're not the greatest skaters, but their hockey sense and their will to get the pucks make up the difference, and they're going to be pros and all-stars for a lot of years.
Flame great Al MacInnis talking about Matthew Tkachuk and the Tkachuk family and what they meant to St. Louis hockey and the style of play Matthew plays, and it was very interesting to get a take on a guy like Al MacInnis on how Matthew is an aggravator and how he changes the complexion of a game. You know, it's funny how we go to All-Star break and it's supposed to be talking about the Flames season thus far and everything, but everything keeps just cycling back to the Tkachuks and the incident with Cassian. Matthew Tkachuk was asked about that incident and what it's going to be like to play with other Oilers at the All-Star break, and also his experience in St. Louis growing up and what it means for him to be part of this All-Star event.
With everything that's going on with the Battle of Alberta, what's it going to be like to be on the same team as Leon and Connor if they do get here?
Well, they're great players. I mean, this isn't an event to talk about stuff like that. This is an event where the best players in the sport are coming here and playing on the same team and going out and having some fun putting a show on for the fans. So I'm looking forward to doing that and just being around the locker room with all these guys. Those guys in particular are some of the best in the NHL. So to share a room with them and to be on the same ice as them, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, it's kind of like that perfect story. It's somewhere where it was my childhood, basically this rink, and for myself and for Brady to be here, for our family to be here, for all our friends coming here that are within the St. Louis area, they're all coming to it. And from what I've been told, me and Brady are competing against each other in the skills competition in one of the events tomorrow. So I think all of it, it's a story. It's such a great story. And like I said, it was our childhood. And going there, my dad letting us skip a few days of school when we were younger to go to the rink and skate before practice and to run around the locker room, steal all the gum, probably drive the trainers crazy. We're still going to see the same guys tomorrow. And even just back there, seeing some of the security guys who I knew at such a young age, it's a great story. And we're really going to take advantage of this weekend because Even though I'm 22, just turned, and Brady just turned 20 a little bit ago, we're never going to have the option, most likely, to have the All-Star game in St. Louis again. So you might as well take advantage of it.
That is Flames great and public enemy number one for Edmonton, Matthew Tkachuk, talking about the All-Star game experience and playing with the Edmonton Oilers players. That's during media day prior to the IHL All-Star game. All those interviews courtesy of KMOX in St. Louis, our buddy Tom Franklin from Blue Notes Podcast, and we thank them for the use of the audio. Interesting how the All-Star game plays out, the format in which we have to be teammates with our arch rivals. Is that the way to do it? Is it not the way to do it? I am not the hugest fan of the All-Star weekend. I'm not a big fan of the format. I've never really been a fan of it. It is what it is. I believe that it's for the kids. I believe that it is for the players. And I am proud to say that the guys from the Calgary Flames, the Mark Giordanos, the Matthew Tkachuks, the David Riddick, were proud to represent the Calgary Flames at the All-Star game.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
All right, Flames fans, this is what you've been waiting for. Roundtable number three, Battle of Alberta. My buddies from Oil Country Podcast, John Boughton, Kyle Brandt.
Okay, everybody. Joined by Brad from Flames Unfiltered for the Flames guys. We are John and Kyle from Oil Country Podcast. Let's see if this is going to be a heated little collaboration going on here, or, you know, we'll see where this goes.
This is our third one, guys. This is our third one. We're starting to get used to each other.
Yeah,
we can get a little bit more out there.
We've been friendly now. Yeah. Now we're going to say some things that might hurt.
Yeah. Before we get into it, Kyle, should we do it right now? A little surprise? Yeah, let's do it.
You want me to do it right now?
A surprise for you, Brad.
All right. Okay. So, well, it's my second surprise. We already talked about the Dubé thing before, but I'm going to give a shout-out right now to rink.justice on Instagram as well as on Reddit where me and John found out about it. I got a shirt for you, Brad. I can send one to you if you want. I'm happy to support Rink Justice again. I personally got mine in the mail today, and we'll be tweeting it out what it is, but it's a photo of Cassian.
It's a photo of Cassian.
I've seen those.
Absolutely demolishing.
Your turtle boy face in.
Right on a black t-shirt.
So I'll be wearing that.
I've seen that. I've seen those. Those are cool.
Yeah, I'm very happy by the product. The shirt is very top quality. So if you want, I'd be sending that as a gift your way. No problem, my man.
I'll take you up on it.
Deal.
Okay, okay. We'll do the details for your address.
Twitter for anyone listening that might be interested in the shirt as well. But what are we starting with here, boys? Are we going to get All-Star game, or are we going right into Battle of Alberta? What are we thinking?
I think we should do the All-Star game first, and you two can recap it. I honestly missed a lot of it. I was working this weekend, and to be quite honest, I could care less about most of the All-Star game shit.
I think Brad could either.
I really could care less. So.
I really could care less, but I think there was some funny situations that I hope, I don't know, I want to get your guys' take on it, if it'll diminish this anticipation for Wednesday night's game, or if it sparks it more, or I don't know. Like, the game itself, do we really need to talk about it? Was it that
No. The only really note that we could talk about is the Drysdale and Tkachuk.
That's what I mean. The one stick pass that Tkachuk, like, passed it underneath his skate in front of the net, and Drysdale.
But I mean, they're pros.
So what do you guys, I can hear your opinion on this. So Drysdale spouted off after the incident, I guess we'll call it.
Spouted off.
Right? Didn't
he's thrown it out already, John. Just saying. Spout it off.
And said that, you know, if he had to play with Tkachuk, he's going to get off the ice. Well, as soon as he said it, I laughed because I'm like, he's not going to get off the ice.
Sure. And I think most people in oil country thought the same thing.
And if Tkachuk would have said that, I'd have been like, oh, why you say that? Like, because you're not going to do that. Like, so Tkachuk set him up on a pretty funny – it was an all-star play. I mean, it was a funny play. Like, when I say that all-star, I don't mean, like, Kachuk's an unbelievable player. I'm just saying that, like, it was a razzle-dazzle, pass behind the legs, you know, all-star type
Oh, nobody's trying. Everybody's just doing ridiculous shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like that's something you can only get away with in the All-Star game, or like one out of 100 tries.
And so Draisaitl scores, and they look genuinely like no beef with each other, high five. And I saw numerous pictures of Oilers guys with Giordano and Rittich. Yeah. And it looked like they were being way happier than I even wanted them to be. And I like, okay, and I know these guys are all buds off the ice. They just are. I mean, this isn't like the 70s and 60s where you hated each other
for
life.
Saying that, though, Draisaitl and Tkachuk have had a little history together where they've done some slew-footish shit towards each other, right? So yeah, it's Draisaitl funny that they were so buddy-buddy, too.
That's what I mean. Did it almost? Okay. We all three of us have discussed this prior to the show, and then actually on our first two talks we did. We love this situation.
Fuck yes.
Right? I mean, it's made it a little bit more fun. So does it piss you off that they were kind of buddy-buddy?
I wasn't expecting a big blow-up. The downside, what I personally would have liked to have seen, because McDavid and Draisaitl typically played with Gio, right? And, you know, obviously, I don't know if you saw the McDavid documentary, but Gio was on there and was apologetic and guilt, kind of said he felt guilty about it. But anyways, I don't think there's any bad blood between, you know, that duo and Gio whatsoever specifically. But if it was something where all three of the forwards could have gone on the ice together, what I personally would have liked to have seen, nothing blowing up, but just some passive-aggressive keep-away, where Tkachuk literally doesn't touch the puck for a whole shift, and just those guys just go to work, is what I would have liked to have seen, but wasn't possible because of the...
Or just, what, don't take a pass from him and just, like, skate off whenever he has the puck and leave him by himself? It'd be funny to see. I'd laugh, yeah.
Maybe you'll argue with me on this one. Maybe this will start it. But, like, I don't think Tkachuk gives a shit. Like, I don't. I don't think he gives a shit. I think he's like, if Cassian wants to be bitchy and Draisaitl wants to be bitchy, they can be bitchy. Like, I don't give a shit. I just get that impression. Like, he just doesn't care.
It's very hard for me to decide what is genuine that Tkachuk does and what does he do that it's just playing that pest character.
Yeah, I still come back to the Avery thing, right? Like, he's playing a character,
and
man.
I don't really think he cares. Like, does he care if Cassian doesn't like him? Like, there's no
absolutely
like,
no.
I'm not going to argue you there.
As a matter of fact, I think he giggles when he goes to bed at night.
He probably wants Cassian to hate him. I think that's
But think
true,
about
right?
this, you guys. But, think about this. Okay, so we see Draisaitl and Tkachuk have a fairly professional, legitimate, happy conversation from what we could see, right?
Right.
Okay. So all I could think of when I saw that was, what's Cassian doing? Sitting on his couch, scratching his nuts, going, what a piece of shit.
Right? I mean, to be fair, he was probably in, like, Jamaica with his, like, 10 out of 10 wife hanging out drinking mimosas.
You know what I mean, though? Like, what is he thinking? Like, because if he's truly still bitter about this, which I believe he is, because he got showed up. So,
okay, now we're going. He got showed up. How many shots to the face did Tkachuk take? He got showed up. He didn't show up. He didn't show up was the problem.
I know. And I'm going to be the first to admit, you guys, I'm an old school guy. But after it was all said and done and we scored on the power play, I was like, gosh, shit, I guess I can live with this. Because I'm not a turtle type guy. Like, I don't like that shit. I don't.
So do you think he should have answered the bell?
Yeah, I do.
Even though the scheme of it is working as a Flames fan, you still, and I respect that you can put the bias aside, because there's a lot of Flames fans saying, oh no, he has no obligation to fight him, all that bullshit.
And I got a Facebook poll going on that on my show we'll be talking about later on in the show, but I would, if I was Tkachuk, I would go out on Wednesday and I would play my normal game. I would not, anytime anybody came at me to try to fight, I'd skate away. I would just play my normal game. But the drop of the puck on Saturday night, I'd freaking go right at Cassian. And I would drop the gloves, and then I would throw a couple shots and hang on for dear life.
I mean, that's fine as long as he's not targeted by our players during the first game while he's playing his normal game, right?
He won't. You want to know why he won't? The league is not going to let it happen.
See, that's the one thing that's a big takeaway there is there's reports that George Parros is going to be there himself.
I'm sure he will be.
Who gives a fuck, dude? Why does that change away from his opinion on the matter?
It doesn't care if he's there or not.
Who cares if he sees it?
I just think that right now, Tkachuk has got Cassian so mad and has got him acting so, immature and saying things on a daily basis. Like, he just can't shut up about it. He just can't be quiet about it. So he's obviously mad. So, would you not want to, keep poking the bear?
For sure you do if you're Tkachuk, but I will say that the one thing that's been in Cassian's favor here is the break. And obviously getting just a 2-game suspension, so being able to come back to the next Battle of Alberta is huge. But also getting this break, because, I mean,
as a Calgary fan, I'm happy he's back, because I'm happy.
Do you want to see, this nice Battle of Alberta with Cassian suspended? And, of course not, right? As much as Cassian's appearance would suggest otherwise, and I don't blame you Flames fans for going after that, because he's not the most handsome NHL player I've ever seen in my life, and he looks not like the most intelligent dude when you look at him. But with all that aside, Cassian's smarter than he looks. There's no way he's he's definitely an emotional player. So that's when you see the stupid decision.
He gets crazy eyed and he fucking does dumb shit.
And when he starts seeing red. So he definitely has a temper, but I think Cassian's also going to come out with a strategy, and I'll guarantee you this, he's not going to be coming around the offensive net with his head down anymore, that's for sure. Even though I do agree with the majority of people that aren't Flames fans, that those hits weren't necessarily dirty, but they were predatory. Not that Cassian wants to really criticize someone with that.
Exactly.
Nonetheless, his game's cleaned up a lot over the years.
Yeah, okay.
And I think he's going to come out with a plan. And I think that plan is going to be, he's going to play his game as well. He realizes he's on the first line, right? There's no way he's chasing Tkachuk around.
He's not going to target him all game. There's no way that he does that, yeah. But if he gets the opportunity, he'll... Exactly. Sorry, he will fucking love him.
He tried to do it last game.
But he can try again and succeed next time. It doesn't matter.
He might. But how come nobody talked about that run?
People talked about it all over the place.
I mean, not near as much. But it was overshadowed.
Okay, but I mean, for sure, but unless you want to get back into that, those hits that, Tkachuk threw, although according to the Department of Player Safety, they weren't clean, every other player out there that commented on the situation said Cassian was in the right. So to keep calling Cassian out for how he reacted to the situation when he was clearly targeted.
I think it's fine that he went nuts. Batshit crazy.
For sure. And credit to Tkachuk, too, because that's his job. We can all agree on that, right? But for the next game, I don't know, man. I keep thinking that it's going to blow up, but it's probably going to be how you say. It's probably going to be super anticlimactic. And then the game two days later will blow up.
But you know what?
You're really bumming me out right now.
I know. But you know what makes me feel good, though, as a Flames fan on this one? And this is something that's really odd for me to say, because I'm not a fan of these two guys. But I think you guys have one guy on your team that's I would consider a psycho. And that's Cassian, right?
Yeah. Darnell Nurse has a bit of a temper too, but not near on the level.
But he's not. I wouldn't consider him the guy that just is going to lose his mind.
He's more of a defender. You hit his goalie, he'll go after you. That type of player.
He's kind of like a Sam Bennett is for us. It's like, I'll do something if you do something, but I'm not going to do something to start it.
Exactly.
But we got two guys that are just complete nut jobs, man. We got Lucic and Ronaldo. Can you get any crazier than Ronaldo?
No.
Ronaldo's the guy that if he kicked somebody in the head with his skate, I would be like, well, I kind of guess I saw that coming.
And, I mean, Lucic as well, he's the butt end of a lot of Oilers fans' jokes, obviously. But, I mean, there's no doubt that, say what you will about his hockey ability, his hands or whatever else, there's a reason not very many people are willing to fight Lucic, and that's because he is the supreme heavyweight in the league, other than maybe Chara, and that's just because of his sheer size and reach.
I think Ryan
Reeves and Tom Wilson both would not hesitate to fight Lucic, but just as far as like the weight level and the size, that's a fierce human being. So that, you know, that's one thing that as this Battle of Alberta ramps up, not saying I want Lucic back, we're very happy with James Neal, thank you very much, but
come on, Wolf Tree.
It is the one disadvantage that as soon as that trade happened, Kyle and I were like, those Battle of Albertas get really rough. I'm not going to be happy that they have Lucic. And so far, he's been physical. I remember him hitting Caleb Jones on the forecheck two or three times last game, but no chippy shit. You know, like he hasn't crossed even close to getting to crossing the line.
Do you know how you get, you know, there's those people in sports and in life that just have a quick ability to snap.
Right.
And like Ronaldo and Lucic really, quite honestly, have nothing to lose. And if Lucic got suspended for 10 games, we'd be like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, our lineup would be better.
And is Ronaldo any different?
Ronaldo is a borderline fourth liner, man. He's in there to do that shit.
If we lost him for the rest of the season, everybody in Flames would be like, well, hey, that's the price you pay.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even be upset. And I'm not saying I want him to go out and freaking, you know, do something stupid or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, it kind of feels good once in a while to have the crazy guy on your side because we haven't had that.
To me, the one thing that really scares me about this series of games, too, is if it boils over outside of the kind of group of players that we've talked about, right? Like Tkachuk, Cassian, maybe Nurse, maybe Larson on our side, right? But like then Ronaldo and Lucic on your side. But what I'm super worried about, and more so even with that documentary that me and John just talked about in our intro to this interview here, with McDavid, but they kind of went over about his whole injury that happened when we played the Flames at the end of last season where he ran into the net because Gio, not to his intent, but took him out of the knees and he ran in, right? And he had a completely severed ligament behind his knee. And just the fact that that kind of came out and his rehab that he's gone through and how much he's worked towards and how it really could have been a career ender for McDavid if he gets targeted because of this situation afterwards, right? And if it blows into Gaudreau on your side or Monahan on your side, if it blows into other players involved, like, that's where I don't want this.
And I don't think it's likely to go there.
I doubt it.
But it's still
I doubt it too, but
risk.
it's always a risk, right?
You know what? If you're going to feel I can say this, and I believe this. If for Oilers fans, I'd feel safer if I was you than us. Because I don't think anybody in Calgary is going to even come remotely close to going after McDavid or Dreisaitl. I could see him going after Nugent Hopkins. I don't know why I pick on him.
Or Yamamoto, the younger players.
Okay. The thing is that if something, and I don't think this will happen, and I would be absolutely shocked if it happened, to be honest with you. But if Dreisaitl or McDavid got hurt, you're done.
Yeah.
But if Gaudreau got hurt on our end, I'm sorry, we're not even close to done because Gaudreau's been.
It's not about the done factor though. It's just about the kind of star factor of it reaching out outside of like the players that should be dealing with that situation. And then does it come back to the non-calling of Tkachuk standing up for himself to the point that it had to blow over?
Continue to ramp up the cheap shit.
If someone takes a run at
any skill player on these teams and injures them. This is going to be a 10-year.
Yo, it's literally World War fucking III happening.
You know what, you
on
guys
the 2nd of February, yeah, like, first, whatever. Yeah.
You guys hate Calgary and I hate Edmonton, but I don't even, and I want this to boil to the point where it's about ready to go over, but I don't want us going after McDavid.
No, and I don't want to see our players go after Gaudreau or Monahan or really like anyone other than your tough guys that are prepared for it and. For lack of a better term, that's kind of their job, right? That's what they bring to the game as a big
So let me ask you this. If Cassian catches Tkachuk going across the middle and knees him and he's out for 6 weeks with a knee injury, are Edmonton fans going to be happy?
Yes.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. It'll be bullshit, and I think not maybe not most, but I think a good amount of fans will also call out the bullshit of what it was. If it's a dirty hit, right? If it's a knee on knee coming across the middle.
Yeah. I'm just hypothetically.
I think like most hockey fans will call it what bullshit it was, but you can also see the retaliation of it. And like, I will be happy as a fan if Tkachuk comes off the ice in a stretcher. I will gladly say that.
What?
Dude, fuck Tkachuk. Honestly, holy fuck Tkachuk.
Okay, here we go. Are you okay? Kyle, are you saying that because you're jealous and you don't have it?
A little bit. But I mean,
like, because here's the deal, you guys. Like, we don't want, and this is going to be a shot back at you here.
John's
oh, man, if this was on TV, it would literally flash, like, the scheduled programming will return shortly right now. It'd just be all
oh,
like, Jesus,
okay, I mean, okay, I don't want anybody to get injured, but I'm just saying, like...
Whatever, you did a setup, I'm good with it. You know what, here's the deal, though.
I didn't mean it, whatever.
Yeah. Don't backtrack.
I meant it, fuck it, Chuck.
Okay, we don't want Cassian hurt. You know why we don't want Cassian hurt?
Why?
Because as long as you guys have him on your first line, I think we're safe.
Really? I mean, he's doing well this year, man. Like, really?
I know, but it's kind of like Calgary's telling us. We keep telling ourselves. I don't, but a lot of the Calgary guys keep telling ourselves that Lucic is doing good. I think we're just telling ourselves that because we know we're stuck with his shit.
You're just rationalizing
it deep
down.
Yes, you guys keep telling yourself that Cassian is a good guy on the first line. I guarantee if you got McDavid in a corner away from everybody else and said, hey, how do you feel about Cassian on your line? He'd be like, fuck that, I want somebody
better. I highly disagree. And
what?
Yeah, I highly disagree with that.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm not arguing, just to preface this and clarify, I'm not arguing that Cassian is a first-line talent. But you look at the success Crosby has had with lesser players, and you don't have to be a first-line ability player to play with that type of talent.
I agree with that.
And you have to have a certain amount or a certain ability. And that is to be able to skate, which Cassian can do, be able to retrieve pucks in the corners and the areas where McDavid's flying around and get him the puck, which he does, and be ready for passes and get to those opportunities where McDavid's going to find you. All three of those things Cassian does well, plus you get the bonus of, I know it's not the 80s, but if something does happen to McDavid on the ice, you are going to get murdered. Like, if you make a run at him and injure him,
you're
going to
get a power play.
He's going to the hospital. Like, he's going to fight the refs off so he can keep hitting you while you're on the ice. And that, I mean, I don't think that that's necessary, but is that in players' minds when they're about to clean McDavid out? Probably.
And to back you up, John, right, like, he's had success with, realistically, Cassian and Archibald this year. But prior to this year, he hasn't had much success with anyone. That's why we've had to put Draisaitl up on that first line. If he had success with anybody that you could put up there, then we would have the 1-2 center split like we've been looking to have, right? So we'll agree with you, Brad. Cassian is definitely not a first-line center on...
But he fits
like
the bill right
like
now.
29 other teams in the league. He would have to play with a Crosby-esque player in order to kind of carry him because he is not the player that's the star player on the line. He is a, you know, a composite, like, add-on player to that. And it's just, I don't know. I would love to see for this fucking next game if Lucic tries to fight him, just for him to say to Lucic that I don't fight fourth liners because he's a first liner now, just like Tkachuk said to him.
Lucic won't go fight him just because he won't want to have that be said. He won't give Cassian the pleasure of saying that. Ronaldo would, because Ronaldo just...
We'll fight anyone. Let's say, just I think we can all agree that it's fairly obvious Tkachuk is not going to fight this next game. He's not going to fight Cassian. So if Cassian is determined to get him to answer the bell...
I don't doubt that his dad doesn't tell him to go do it.
Because his dad isn't a little bit.
Math is not...
He can say what he wants. I don't think... Deep down, if that wasn't his son, Keith would not like the way Matthew plays. Like, he would like the edge he plays on. He would be just with all those other NHLers saying, you got to answer the bell if you're going to play that way.
But there's all kinds of guys that say that they understand and respect why Tkachuk plays that way, and he plays that way very, very well.
There's a lot of other players that play with that pest mentality. Ryan Kessler was one. Brad Marchand is one. And I'm not 100% sure about Marchand, but you look at Kessler, and I mean, the guy fought throughout his career. I know Tkachuk's fought at times. He answered the bell when he had to. And Corey Perry was the same way. God damn, I hate the old Ducks.
Corey Perry never hardly ever answered the bell, though. He was like Kachuk exactly, you guys.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, Kachuk even said when he was getting drafted in his pregame interviews, he said he modeled his game after Perry.
He's exactly right. Corey Perry.
Did he?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay, the only thing, though, I will say, and I'm going to defend Kachuk on this, is he's exactly like Corey Perry, only I can't hardly think, besides maybe the elbow to Doughty's head, of, I mean, Kachuk's a pest, but he's not dirty. He's not a slew footer. He's not a slash in the
face.
I'll
give you that. Yep.
He's not that.
He plays
slash in the fucking balls, and he does slew foot, I guess.
I know. Dreisaitl has more slew foots than Kachuk.
I'd say they're probably equal.
Kyle, what, you're way easier to argue with. Kyle's the voice of reason.
Kyle's the shitster.
I don't know. I'm afraid, and I'm going to be really pissed off on Wednesday night if something doesn't happen. Let me ask you this. What happens if off the drop of the puck, Kachuk grabs Cassian, and they go, and Kachuk gets a quick one in and drops Cassian? What happens?
First off, I will go from respecting Kachuk 0.02% to like 8% respect from me for that. He will gain that amount of respect from me.
I think it's probably unlikely because Cassian's pretty good at dodging shit. But like, okay, so what happens if Kachuk catches Cassian with his head down and lays him out at center ice again?
I think there's a good chance we see a replay of the last game. And Cassian probably gets suspended for like 5 games this time. Honestly, like, here's the thing,
I know,
though. Like, Cassian's going to have his head up, and they're both going to be looking for each other, right? So I don't actually think you're going to see huge hits like that, because both of them are going to be so hyper-aware when they're on the ice together. I think you're going to see a lot of after-the-whistle stuff, especially in front of each other's nets. But I don't see any huge hits happening as much as I'd like to see it.
No, I don't think so either. So if let's say Cassian grabs Kachuk and Kachuk doesn't turtle, Cassian
gets into a fairy tale here.
Funny. Cassian beats up Kachuk. Let's say, okay.
Yeah.
Is this done then?
No, but I don't think it's near the hype and the pressure.
I think a lot of it dies if Kachuk was to just fight Cassian. Like, a lot of it dies right there.
It goes back to the amount of how tense it was before this last incident, I think. Where they're not running each other and making that their mission, but there's still... Yeah. I mean, it's the Battle of Alberta. This has ignited a fire. I think you're going to see this rivalry maybe not get dirtier and more of this shit we saw the last game, but this is going to get more intense over the next 5 years. And
what happens if we have a rerun of Vancouver-Calgary 5 years ago?
I was actually going to mention that earlier, and just seeing if we called up any... No, it won't for sure, but just seeing if we called any AHL players up. I don't even know what we would have to bring up for that.
We wouldn't even have to call anybody up.
But like,
we got a bunch of knuckleheads that would go.
No, for sure. Yeah.
If Kachuk refuses to fight again, and he says that like pregame, before the puck even drops, and then the next faceoff, our second line is out against whatever line Goudreau's on, and Yamamoto slashes Goudreau before the whistle and says, "Let's settle this ourselves."
Okay, and they drop
the
Yamamoto
gloves.
And Goudreau. Oh my god, dude! I would be the happiest boy in the entire world.
Kyle always calls himself a boy when he says how happy he is, and it's like, dude, you're a 27-year-old man. Stop being weird. hear me out. This is a hypothetical.
Nothing. It would just be entertainment.
Let me have my fairy tale. They say, let's handle this like men, and we're going to settle it. And they just trade haymakers for like 30 seconds.
I'd love it.
And both go down at the same time. Does that settle it?
No, that just makes everybody look and shake their head and go,
oh, yeah. Dude, I think everybody on the bench just burst out laughing, and then maybe that does settle it just because it's hilarious as shit. Yeah.
Alex DeBrincat comes in from like the second row, just out of nowhere, and like I want
both players fucking Alexander Semin fucking bottom hammer punching.
I'm gonna make a prediction that we see no fights on Wednesday night,
ooh,
and we see no dirty stuff.
I disagree with your prediction.
Pisses me off.
I disagree with that.
Do you think Edmonton? Like,
that would be the ultimate disappointment.
Okay, your coach is not happy though. Do you think he's going to be okay with Cassian going out and being silly? I don't.
He was not happy because they lost.
Yeah. But it might happen again.
The events that they lose. I mean, I just can't see.
I don't think anybody in the locker room was upset at Cassian for doing what he did.
But we don't know that.
The fact that
Edmonton media was putting all over.
You can be mad at the fact that they, you know, got scored on, and it was a terrible time to take that penalty, and that they got scored on that the power play that ensued, right? Like, you can blame Cassian for the loss, for sure, right? But if it happened at any other point in the game.
But what?
Who knows, right? Like, I just, it was an improper time to take a penalty. It wasn't the right hit to blow up on. If he would have done it on the earlier hit, you know, that you could argue actually targeted his head, then there's probably a lot more, you know, sway even from Calgary fans that are defending Cassian.
I did kind of chuckle, though, like Edmonton media immediately puts out like 4 days later that the Calgary players were not happy with Tkachuk turtling. Like, where did that come from? Did you guys not laugh at that? You're just like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even we know, like, that's what they want him to be
exactly.
doing.
Exactly. You know, like, I'm like, they're calling out the Flames players for not being behind Tkachuk when, you know what, maybe they weren't. But who is this guy putting this out, and where did they get this out?
Both teams were behind their teammates. Whether they, like,
absolutely, deep
down agreed with what they did or not, they're never, I mean, but at the same time, who knows what happens behind closed doors? I'm going to argue that whoever that Edmonton media member that put that out doesn't know either.
No.
One of the things we should probably talk about at least briefly here, how about the charity stuff and the billboard that went on? Like, that was, you know, all the hockey bullshit aside, that was a pretty cool thing that happened in Alberta.
As much as we may hate each other on the ice, you know, we're all good people, though. I mean, like, this thing actually sparked a bunch of good money going to charity. And I think the billboard idea was genius.
But what do you think of the design? Because I thought, like, I have no problem with the billboard idea. It was cheeky. It was funny. The design, I was kind of just like...
Have you seen it, John?
Not in person, but I've seen pictures of it. I haven't been in Edmonton since it came out, so... I just felt like it was kind of a weak, like, if I was going to fund a billboard to put in Calgary, I would have went, like, a little more aggressive, like, you know?
Do you think they were toned down, though, by the...
Like, the radio station or the, like, maybe the billboard company, like, limited them? That's possible.
Yeah.
And once the radio station took over, like, they're not going to do something, like, crazy that could be controversial and backfire on them either, right? Like...
Yeah. Because you don't want to turn something that's a good money fundraiser into bad publicity.
Exactly.
So, like, I don't know. I thought it was clever. And I think, you know, as much as, you know, like we talked about it last time we visited, as much as I hate the Edmonton Oilers and I laugh at your guys' lineup and I make fun of it and I do all those funny things, you know, like, I still do want you guys to be relevant. And I'm hoping you don't cave down the stretch here and fall out of the playoffs. I'm hoping that Kyle's just sitting there. I'm just waiting for him to rip into me. I'm trying to get him mad.
That with like a smile on his face, like, yeah, I'm gonna say this on the podcast.
He's smirking every time he fucking says something. He stares right at me as he says it. It's in the air.
And, you know, I'm deathly afraid of this game on Wednesday night, in the fact that, God, I hope we win. Oh, I hope we win, because just to see Edmonton even get more just infuriated, but. You know, I mean, we got five games this year, and I don't doubt that it's going to be a 3-2 at the end of the whole five
games.
That's
it. You guys have 2-0, too. So I'm like, this is a big game for both teams, obviously. And
it is.
Here's the standings. I mean, my God, 1 point separating five teams. But at the same time, like, 2-0 Flames over Oilers as of right now. So that's going to be a huge matchup. I mean,
and I'm also very realistic. Like, I honestly believe that Edmonton could win the division or not make the playoffs, and I honestly believe Calgary could win the division or not make the playoffs. I believe that.
It's hard to argue anything different, right? Like, this division is so tight, and I mean, one of the things we talked about on our last episode is getting a lot of criticism of like how weak the Pacific is, and it's like, I don't think it's weak. We just don't have a elite team, but we have five dark horse candidates right now.
You know, they were talking. I can't remember where I was listening to the other day. It was probably Toronto because they say all kinds of crazy shit. They keep saying, oh, the East is so much stronger, so much stronger. Well, wait a second, because the point totals. It's going to take 100 points to make the playoffs in the East. Okay, have you factored in that Ottawa sucks and Detroit sucks and everybody gets points from them every single night? And in the West, name me a team that's a gimme.
Well, dude, even the Kings, right, who everybody thought was going to suck, have been a competitive enough team. Like, they've been outshooting teams on a regular basis and making it tough
for opponents. They beat us twice.
Yeah, for sure. They beat us once or twice even too, John, right? Like,
once for sure.
There's no gimme points. Remember 3-4 years ago or 5 years ago when the LA, Anaheim and all them, San Jose were all dominating, and everybody was like, oh, the Pacific is so amazing. Well, yeah, we were amazing, but we also had teams like Arizona that couldn't win a game and Edmonton that couldn't win a game and Calgary that couldn't win a game.
Pretty well-rounded division as it sits right now. Like, I mean, you even look at, like, San Jose. I don't think they're going to win the playoffs by any means, but they're not out of it. They have a lot of talent on that roster, and you never know. They might have a really good second half. I think the last time I checked, they're 9 points out right now, and, I mean, that's a big gap in the NHL, but like, there's five teams that are definitively in the running right now, and all of them could make it, or two of them could miss. And, like, I mean, it's going to be crazy down the stretch here, but I think it's a great division. It's been a wild ride already, and it's going to be a wild ride down the stretch.
There's no easy games. It's not like you get to go walk into Montreal or Ottawa and go get, you know, a game you get to walk over a team on, right?
And so Jersey's another one in the East, too, that, like, since they moved Taylor Hall.
Yeah, they've been not good.
I like that shot at Montreal.
It was more of a shot at Calgary, to be honest with you, because Calgary got shut out by Montreal and then lost 5-2 to Ottawa.
I just
talked about it in the last episode. We never beat the gimmies. We've lost to Ottawa. We lost to Montreal. We lost to L.A. twice. We've lost to everybody that we should.
The Oilers are very similar. We don't show up to games that we should show up to.
We are good against Montreal, though. Something about Carey Price and the Oilers, he just does not jive against us.
Yeah, I mean more like basement teams in general, right? Not like a middler like Montreal really has been over the last most of the decade.
Alberta teams, from people that watch those teams regularly, are well known to be the play up to their opponent's level when they're playing really good teams and make it a close game or steal those games when they probably shouldn't. And then you finally think you get some momentum, you go into Montreal, you go into Ottawa, and you lose 5-2. And it's like, what the hell, man? Like, all you had to do was show up and bring the same game, and that was a guaranteed 2 points. And it doesn't happen a lot of the time.
Even that game against Ottawa, like, I know I threw the dig there, but to Calgary's credit, they totally outplayed Ottawa. Like, Ottawa had no shots, right? Like, I think they had 11 shots and they had 3 goals. Like, it was ridiculous. And it's not like the goals they got were like lucky bounces. It was ridiculous, man. Like, honestly, it was just, it was goals that didn't need to go in, and Calgary should have won that game. But yeah, just like you said, right? Like, play down to other teams' levels. Don't show up on a team that they should be beating. It's a consistent thing between our two teams.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that doesn't bite us in the ass too, because I mean, down the stretch here, we come back, we play six. Yeah, that's our excuse, by the way. I'm gonna fill you in right away on this one. We lose on Wednesday night. Hey, we had to play the Stanley Cup champions on Tuesday night, so we have a built-in excuse.
We got the same
right
thing
now
for game four against you. We got to do it the game before too.
Yeah, so we both have the exact same excuses in the next two games.
Hey, you know what? I wish I would have known you guys last year, man, because I would have been calling and bitching. Every time we played Edmonton was a freaking we were the night of a back-to-back. Every time, and Edmonton never freaking had a back-to-back.
You know what? We had talked about that. I think me and John, we were close enough last year where we kind of mentioned that too. Like, it was
talking towards the end of the year.
Yeah,
sure.
Like, it was consistently Calgary was on the end of back-to-backs. And although the year before that, if I remember correctly, Edmonton was the one that had to deal with that all before too, right?
The schedule is always a clusterfuck.
I got a question for Edmonton fans, since they probably already hate me.
I know I do.
Were you guys seriously?
No.
Yeah, I know. Were you guys seriously bitching about the guy running the stopwatch during the fastest skater thing?
Oh, I wasn't, but the people online were like, oh, fucking, I've seen God. Some of that shit, man. It's
like, are you serious? Like, we're bitching about the All-Star game now? I'm like, are you guys not that close to Vancouver? Like, what's going on here?
I would think there's fans that do that for any team, though. And if it, Calgary, like if Tkachuk was your fastest skater, you probably would have had the similar situation.
He's not even,
you know what I'm saying? If Tkachuk was your McDavid in that situation.
I think the thing is, and one of the reasons I don't care is you can argue at me, and not you guys, but anybody can argue at me that Barzal is faster than McDavid until they're blue in the face, and I won't agree with you. But at the end of the day, it's a couple runs. And the only thing that actually kind of pissed me off, and it's since, I think McDavid won 3 in a row after that, but it's since kind of calmed down a little bit in me, but it was the Larkin moving start, where they were like, oh, like he still has the record. And I'm like, yeah, but Connor started
a 5-yard head start.
Still,
so,
and he's like 0.004 seconds behind him or something. Like, it's like, yeah, like he's the record holder. Like, I'm sorry, that's stupid.
I wish that we would have these, and we don't need to talk about this long because we all three hate the All-Star. Until they actually take it serious and they have 5 events that really freaking matter, like I would consider the fastest skater one of them, and they have every team have a fan fest night, and you time every one of your freaking players, and every team gets to send one guy to the fastest skater, so we actually have the fastest guys freaking skating. Just because you're an All-Star doesn't mean you're the fastest skater.
No.
So we have 8 guys skating the other night, and it's like, well, shit, I know McDavid's fast, and he probably would win the Oilers one, but like,
I'm sorry, are you saying that one game out of the year that we should have every player start shooting pucks from the middle of the like fan zone at the top of the first one?
No,
because that might have been the worst fucking event I've ever seen in my life. That was the most boring half hour of hockey.
That was dumb, but remember last year, though, when the guys had to freaking come down and stick handle through, you know, all these shit things, and then they had to flip it up in the air through some hole 3 feet up? Like that happens in hockey.
Yeah, that's a hockey skill.
There's so many dumb things. Like, why are we doing this?
You know what I really liked, and this might be biased. Like, one of the things that I agree with the fastest skater, you've obviously got to go in. Hardest shot, same thing. I think they should split hardest shot into forwards and defensemen. That's just me. Sure. I'm trying to keep them together, but side note there anyways. But one of the things that I actually really liked, and I might be biased because Draisaitl won it last year, was the accuracy passing.
I like that.
I thought it was good. I'm like, that's if you're
but it's a legitimate thing, though, you guys.
Exactly.
There is some legitimate things we can test in hockey. But we're turning this into a freaking freak show. And to top it all off, now the guys don't even want to come.
Yeah.
And this is for the kids. Like, back in the 80s, these guys freaking gave their right arm to make the All-Star team. Now our guys are like, oh, shit, I'd rather go to Mexico for the week.
Well, I don't blame them.
To be fair, I don't blame them, man. What would you rather do? Like, I understand Ovechkin and stuff being like, I'll take the game suspension like they did last year, 2 games, whatever it was, to not go.
Hey, in the next CBA, you can't miss this. It just needs to be put in there because this is going to turn into the damn Pro Bowl.
Oh, God, don't even get me.
It is you guys.
We're a hockey podcast. I will not talk about the Pro Bowl. We're a hockey podcast. I will not talk about the Pro Bowl. Like, oh, I hate the freaking Pro Bowl so much. Sorry.
Hey, we're right there. We're one step away, you guys.
It already is that, though, man. Like, at least the highlights I've seen, it's just the, like, nobody tries. It's just them skating around doing bullshit moves everywhere.
You need to watch the goddamn Pro Bowl. It's nowhere near.
I did watch glimpses of the Pro Bowl today, and there was some shit in there that I was like, what the fuck is even happening right now? But
you guys, we're not far away.
I'm agreeing with you, Brad. Like, there's a lot of just...
Kyle and I just agreed.
Not that they need to have hits and stuff in the All-Star game, but there's not really a lot of competitiveness.
I enjoyed watching the mascot game more than most All-Star games.
Yeah?
Like, I genuinely did. It was more...
You guys like your mascot? The hell is it?
No. It's a bobcat?
I don't know. Hunter, the fucking... I don't want to...
Let's talk about Cassian again.
I was like, oh, God, really?
No, we can't. No,
okay. Just kind of, we're going to wrap it up here right away. That's my famous quote that I always say, and then we talk for another hour. But if you guys could change, so not the skills competition, the All-Star game.
Yeah.
If you could change like format, how many players are on the ice, like anything, what would you change that you genuinely think it would make it a better, more competitive, more entertaining day or event?
Okay, here's what I would do. It'd be very simple. Fans would love it. I think players would go. But instead of having to watch the Blackhawks play the Bruins every January 1st, let's have the Winter Classic be the All-Star game. You play it outside, East versus West, five on five, have a normal freaking hockey game. The general managers get to pick players. You can't pick from your team. The general managers make the roster of the true freaking All-Stars. And you play a game, and it's outside, and that is our outside game. So then you don't have to worry about one team saying, well, the ice was shitty or whatever. It's the All-Star game. It doesn't matter. We're out here for fun. And you play it that way, and you pray to God it's as close to a real hockey game as you possibly make it.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think that you're never going to get a real hockey game out of the All-Star game because...
No, you can.
I do agree that I think it should go back to 5-on-5. 3-on-3 can be exciting, I guess, but when it becomes players not trying, just having those extra players on the ice to kind of create those more obstacles for those players that are not trying, just to make it a bit more competitive. What I would change, man, I don't really know. Yeah, you know, not to try to be the, you know, social justice warrior over here, but I do kind of in like the inclusion of the females in the All-Star game over the last 2 years here. I would like to see them included. I know you said not the skills, but to be included in the skills competition in themselves. I think that they've shown last year that they're competitive enough to at least take place. Like, you know, they may not win all the time, and that's fine, but at least to show that they can stand with those players, I think would be great. And maybe inserting a female player onto each line in the All-Star game itself or something along those matter. I'm thinking off the top of my head, and that's just going out there, but I totally agree with what Brad had said for the outdoor game should be more akin to the All-Star event, especially with the stadiums it takes place, is that you're kind of, you have more of a fan an area to do interactive events around that kind of, you know, outdoor area, right?
So think about this, you guys. If they did an outdoor game and then they had the skills competition, think how far those players would be shooting from the stands out to the ice. That'd be freaking amazing.
you could put it at the top of the stadium, like way up there, hundreds of feet up. Just slap shots as hard as they can.
Seriously, just so you can get it near the board. Yeah.
If you get it in the rink, that's like 100 points. Right? Yeah. There's like freaking targets in the stands around them. People are diving out of the way.
I think it's time we do something, though.
I do. And Kyle, I'm really glad you brought it up, because honestly, I had kind of forgotten about it. But I agree. Like the women's game was awesome. Like it was a great hockey game.
It reminded me of the States
versus Canada Olympics. Like obviously not as much on the line. It was 3-on-3 and everything. But it was probably the best event of the weekend. Props to them, obviously, and props to obviously NHL getting them there and you know including them in that. I agree with the skills competition too. It's one of the Canadians. Sorry, I'm blanking. But one of the women was on the stupid platform thing we've been ripping on. But I agree.
Yeah.
More so in the other, especially like the passing competitions. I mean, the goalie competitions could go in. Like, that'd be awesome. Get some of the best women goaltenders and come in. Like, risk of injury is low and everything. And it's obviously not contact. So it takes away some of the disadvantages there. And those women are wildly talented. Like, I think a lot of them would hold their own in those competitions.
You know, I've seen a lot of people, sorry to cut you off, John, but just like last year especially, there was a post on Reddit. I can't remember the name of the person or anything to credit the guy, but he talked about how, I believe it was during the fastest skater event and it was Amanda Kessel, right? Was the lady that took part in it, right? And
No, it was Coin Schofield.
Okay. And like her alone, just like how inspirational she was, just because she kind of started off the whole events there. This guy was watching the All-Star game with his daughter, who usually never watches hockey because it's not her interest, because it is a guy's sport, right? But because she was there during the event and she happened to stop doing what she was doing and glance at the TV and notice that there was a girl on the screen, And instantly after that, like he talked about it in his post, like wanted to go play hockey and like at least take a chance at the sport because that really was a role model to that little girl, right? And so just to include that in, because like even growing up when I was in high school, there was tons of girls who were very talented at hockey. And not that I think that you should, you know, maybe blend the sports together, and that's another discussion to get into, but like to discredit how talented, you know, a woman could be in a sport and not to include them into the All-Star game when realistically it is an All-Star game of the sport of hockey. It's the best players in the sport. So for them to not be included in that is wrong. So I'm happy that the NHL has done that and included them. And they really are role models and bring more people into the sport. Like I want my girlfriend to have a role model in the sport. You know, I want my daughter, if I ever have one, to have
role model in the sport. It is a big thing because that's like we unfortunately don't have the time to get into the big debate of what's going on with the women's hockey leagues. But like with that whole issue, a big problem that they're having with growing the sport is getting one league and having broadcasting rights, right? Like if you want to watch professional women's hockey, you've got to go out of your way to watch women's professional hockey. It's not, oh, look, this game's on TSN. Let's throw it on and just see if it's interesting or not, right? So getting those women in there is going to just help grow that sport altogether, right? And both the men's and women's side, right? Maybe it gets a little girl into hockey and gets her playing, and that's another viewer that the NHL gets or the eventual WNHL gets or both, right? Like that's just more people in these next generations or even the older generations doing that. But like I said, we unfortunately don't have a ton of time to get into that a whole bunch more. That might actually be a good idea for another collab at some point. But as far as my recommendation, I really liked what both of you guys said, but I would really like, instead of the players being selected as well as and having like the last man in thing, give 50% weighted votes to every single player in the NHL. At the end of the day, they're the ones playing against guys. They're the peers. They should have the most say. Give 25.
Oh, I guess so. You guys wouldn't get Tkachuk in there then. Yeah. No, I agree though.
25% to the media, like Associated Press and or yep. the Hockey Writers Association, and 25% to fans. And the other thing is, let's just get rid of this divisional stuff. At the end of the day, like the Pacific Division won. Brad, did you feel any sense of pride or were you stoked of the Pacific Division won?
Could have cared less.
Me neither.
I think David Riddick, I was happy to see David Riddick make some money because I like the guy. I think he's...
For sure. And get back to a couple years ago when they did the captains. Watching the draft was so entertaining when Ovi wanted to go last to get the free car, and then it turned out that he was donating it to a charity to make money for it, and that's why he wanted the car. Like, it was just such an event they were making. They made the first trade between, it was Sagan and someone. But anyways, like, that's an event in itself, and is a ton of people going to watch it? No, but that's just another event to bring money and attention to the weekend and the sport, and it makes it interesting, right? Like, I want to see a line of Crosby and McDavid and Ovechkin if the other captain's stupid enough to let them draft all those players, right? Like, how exciting that would that be? Like, I don't – no offense to Gio or anything. Like, it was fun to watch Gio with those guys too, but it's like just because they're in the same division, they're like stuck
with we're trying guys, to make like, these guys hate each other, and then we have them play together the next week.
Exactly. Or I want to see McDavid go against Draisaitl. Like, that would be awesome. Ooh. Like on the same line, them going one on one on a one on one breakaway against each other, that would be wicked.
You do, huh?
I mean, McDavid's gonna win. I love Draisaitl, but just too fast.
I just wanted to say, John, to blend me and your ideas together there, because I was gonna say right before you did it there, I didn't want to cut you off, but the captain thing I loved, and what if you made like one of the top female girls like a captain of
another great idea
four teams or whatever, right?
That's a
like
good
there
idea,
you go
actually.
Inclusion
and
done.
It's just you know, like progressive different ideas, and I feel like my biggest thing is anytime something comes out with the NHL and they're trying something new, I just get the feeling that it's like this was made in such a distant, unconnected boardroom of a bunch of 75-year-old white billionaires. It's like that's where that idea came from. Like, out of touch with modern culture, out of touch with like what the kids were into.
You're gonna label them all white?
Well, no,
you
but
racist.
It's the like stereotypical like white businessman that's like, yeah, that's what these millennials and Gen Zers want. Like, this will be cool. This will make us more money. And I'm like, man, just like have a fresh idea for once.
Oh, like putting Green Day, a punk band, in, not thinking that they would say
Okay. Oh, that, you know what, before we cut off, I got one final question for Edmonton, guys.
Let's stop saying that because it's not one final question.
No, we have to, though, because no one's going to listen to our show for this long.
No.
We keep egging them on that it's going to end.
Okay. So, you guys had one of your minor league guys have a racist slur this week.
Oh, fuck.
Brandon Manning, yep.
Okay. So, I have a question for you. And I predicted this. Why is it a different rule book for a player than a coach? Because let's face it, I know, and I don't want to get into this too deep. I just want to touch the surface of it. I've talked about this so much this year. I'm so sick of it. I really could puke. But my no way is am I condoning what Bill Peters said or did. But let's face facts. No, he wasn't fired. He resigned. I know. I've already had people blast me on Twitter for that. Okay. But he'll never have a job in the NHL ever again. No way. Because no team will go down. No team will go down that road.
Even if they thought it was, they just wouldn't want to deal with the media shit.
They wouldn't. No, nope. Yep. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. So a player now says a remark, and it's not even 10 years ago. It's like right now, and he gets what did he get? 2 games, and he had to say sorry.
Yeah, was it? Five.
Maybe it's five. Five.
There. 2 to 5.
Okay. So we proved as a society, and I'm not, this isn't an Edmonton Oilers problem, and I'm not bashing the organization. I'm just saying this is a societal issue. So we proved as a society by this that winning is more important than racism because a player won't get the same treatment as a coach because, goddamn, we need that player to help us win a game.
So I think
it's not right.
No, it's not right. Yeah. And I think I'm not agreeing with this whatsoever. I think the thing is, even though coaches are in their own way talent, coaches are more of
it's expendable talent.
It is, and it's more of an employee relationship where the players are also technically an employee relationship, but they're what brings the money in. No coach. Ever and it's fucked up.
So we prove money's more important than
right. And I think the other thing is when you look at I don't know what the head coach's CBA or whatever is like.
Yeah,
I think
they
it's
not
a whole lot easier to pressure
players.
I would assume they.
I think there's a coaches association, but it's not talked about nearly.
Not a very good one.
Sure. But it is one of those things where it's a lot easier to get out of those contracts personally. What I would like to see, and I'm not even 100% sure, but I think they could do it. When Brandon Manning comes back from that suspension,
Edmonton could cut him.
Well, I don't think you can cut him because he actually has a one-way NHL contract. So if you cut him, I don't know if there's an actual, like, because I know in the NFL, they have outs as in this is conduct detrimental to the team, and you were cut for free with no salary cap.
They could place them on waivers, though, and not play them.
Well, and he was already placed on waivers, so he's in Bakersfield. So you can't buy him out because that cap is going to go ahead to your next years. And as much as I'd love to get rid of him, you can't do that. It's just you got to look at the team
first. I get that.
What I'm wondering, can the team suspend him themselves when he comes back?
Oh,
and say
there'd
you're
be a shit
suspended
storm.
Indefinitely.
The Players Association would be all over the team. And the poor
I don't think that's right.
I didn't say poor Oilers. I don't like the Oilers.
Can I say a couple things, though, boys? Like, when Bill Peters did this, right, it happened in the AHL just like this did. And there's a different level of media at that level. And Peters kind of, although it blew up because of Kim, said it, right? It happened when he was in the NHL being an actual NHL head coach, right? So I think that also had a lot to do with it. And not saying what happened with either situation was right, right?
No,
obviously, what Manning did was just as bad.
It.
And I agree with you. It's obviously a horrible situation. One thing I would say in Manning's defense, And obviously, again, not that what he did was good, but immediately after it happened, he came out on his own accord and apologized to it.
So
he wasn't
Bill
pressured
Peters.
By the media.
Does he do that if he gets...
No, he didn't. Not this. When as soon as he did it, there's talk from the players in the room going to Peters and him doubling down on what he
as
said in the room to Kim.
As soon as it came out that he did it, he apologized. But isn't that not the same as Manning? If Manning gets caught, does he apologize?
if that guy on LA's or Ontario Reign doesn't say anything about it, Manny's not knocking on his door.
I'm not arguing that like what he did was any different or anything. I'm just saying that like he did apologize and say what he did was wrong. I'm not saying that that should keep him in. I agree with you what it did. I'm just saying that he did at least have, you know, see what he did in the same day, during the same literal fucking hour, apologize for his actions, not 10 years later.
Right.
Is my
with
point.
Peters, they had reports of a captain questioning him about it, and he came back into the locker room, didn't apologize, and acted like nothing fucking happened.
To continue, too, right, with what he did, I again, not saying anything he did was right. And I think we've seen kind of what would happen with a player last year, I believe, or the year before, when Morgan Riley said on Sportsnet, right, he didn't say, I'm not going to say the word because we don't need to, but he was saying, rag it, rag the puck. I think you can think what he was saying from that. And he had to apologize, and a lot of people were calling for him for extreme repercussions for him to have that happen. And obviously that's not the same situation because he did not say the word that happened right there. But if he was to say the word that happened there, right, like, that's, I think, the precedent of what would have been set during that situation. And I don't know, man.
The extreme repercussions that should not be a career.
No, and...
Yeah, but I agree, right?
It won't be a career, I promise.
For sure. I think it comes down to what you guys are saying, too, is that a coach, to a certain point, is a bit expendable and a lot more expendable than a player. And unfortunately, that kind of keeps the player in the game during those situations, right? If Morgan Riley was to actually say that, there would have been a, I think, hefty fine and suspension, but he probably would be still playing today.
Without a doubt.
Right?
He would have gotten
I don't know, man. I don't really have a point, I guess, to compare the two.
And
but
I just
other than
to
that, it's
out,
the level
sure
of media, why it's not being blown up so much. And yeah, if it was to happen in the NHL, this would be way bigger situation.
No, I don't think it would. I don't.
You don't think so?
I don't. No, I don't. I think that we hold our players on a different level than we hold anybody else out there. I don't. Because I guarantee you this. Let me ask you this then. If an official said a racial slur, he's done for life.
Yeah.
If Connor McDavid tomorrow, which I'm just using him as an example, says a racial slur, he's got 3 game stops. That's
yeah
it. The Players Association will fight
yeah
that.
I'm not disagreeing with you, man, but yeah.
Come on, Kyle. I want
to there's no right answer to it. I don't know. Like, it's not like I would disagree or hate that Brandon Manning's contract came off the fucking books. I'd be more than happy if it happened, to be honest with you.
I know. I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on it just because it happened. You know, I mean, it's just an interesting topic, and I'm not trying to be like all butthurt because Peters is gone.
I think it's probably the best thing for your team that he's been gone.
No, I don't think so. But you know what? I don't know. Some fans would argue that, whatever. But here's the thing, though. I actually feel sorry for some of the coaches this year. Like, I do.
It came under fire, and it must have been, if you had made any non-PC issues in the past, even if it was very minor and fully acceptable at the time, those coaches must have been sledding. And I guarantee a lot of them, it didn't come out what any of them did.
I bet you half of the league's coaches, if not more, have said it and said things wrong. And I bet you half of the players in the league have said things completely inappropriate, just like all of us have said things completely inappropriate, and an hour later been like, oh, my God, am I an idiot?
Yeah.
What am I doing? Like, what was
that? If
there
was a bug on every wall for every person, you would be fired from any job you'd ever want to
have.
We've all
said things. We've all done things. We're humans. That doesn't make it right. But, my gosh, like, what are we – like, I just don't know. Like, and I'm not saying that it should be open reign to say whatever. This stuff's not right to say. But, like, come on. Like,
slippery slope isn't the right term, but it is in a sense where there's things that the majority of people that aren't bigoted and racist and homophobic or any of the other terrible things people are can all agree that, like, these things up here are bad. And then it goes down and everyone's like, yeah, you know, like, we shouldn't say that either. And then it slowly starts getting less and less controversial, but it's like, society's never all going to get on the same page of like, yep, this is where we draw the line. You're always going to have people that, like, look at the Don Cherry thing. That's a prime example. You had about 50% of the people saying, I have no problem with what he said, and I don't want to get into a big conversation about that either.
No.
But, and then 50% of the people are saying, Grape should have been gone 10 years ago, and that's completely unacceptable, and it's offensive, and all these things. And it's like, I'm not even going to say my opinion here. and I do sit on one side or the other, but it's like you're never going to agree where to draw the line. The one thing I will say about the coaching thing versus the players, as a coach, you're almost like a manager, and you're an authority figure. So you are, even though we should hold the players to a very high standard, you're held to a higher standard. It's the same thing if you're in a workplace and two coworkers are sleeping with each other, probably a little questionable, but can't really fire them for it. All of a sudden, the manager's sleeping with someone underneath them, they're gone, right?
Yep.
So that's probably a shitty analogy. Sorry if I offended anyone with that, but
I think that works.
It's one of those things, right, where it's like I think Brandon Manning, like, if it wasn't for the Players Association and the contracts they have written, I would have had no problem with them saying, you're fucking done. Have fun playing out the rest of your career in the KHL, which he's probably going to anyways. But at the end of the day, it's harder, easier said than done to do that.
No, I think it was a good thing to bring up, though, Brad. Yeah. I think we've had a couple of good talks.
We actually hadn't
honestly
talked about that, and I had kind of – it's weird with having so little hockey that actually a lot of stuff has happened in the last, like, week off here, and it's, like, a lot to talk about.
We're probably going to get banned from the show because our podcast is 2 hours long, but
45 minutes top.
Yeah, we'll just split it into two or something. I don't know.
And I love having these talks with you guys. This is three of, we'll do it for every one of our games, of course, but I got a feeling we'll probably be talking in the postseason too.
I'm hoping so. I have a feeling it's going to go three podcasts a week during those playoff series.
I don't know what I expected tonight. I thought it might get a little heated, but
we got more heated than we typically do. But
thanks, John, for reeling us in. You know, Kyle and I kind of lose control on.
I'm the white glove bringing you guys back in.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
All right, Flames fans, a little bit of Flames news through the week. One little thing. Sunday afternoon, Buddy Robinson recalled from Stockton of the American Hockey League. That was really all that happened over the whole break. You know, I know we wanted a trade to happen, and I still do, and I think it will. It's just taking a little bit longer. I think Treliving's okay with that as he's trying to work his magic and get a good deal. I understand that. Now, well, it's usually on Sundays we do the Harvey's Doghouse. Well, we don't have anybody in the doghouse because we haven't played a game. So let's move right along to the fan question. And again, this week, a Facebook poll from my buddies at Flames Hub and Calgary Flames, both Facebook pages you have to be part of if you're a Flames fan. I love working with these guys. I love talking with fellow Flames fans on the site. Posed a Facebook poll today. Of course, unbelievable response. 500-plus people responded in just a couple hours. Some great responses from some great fans. Question. It's time to get back to hockey, and the Battle of Alberta is just a few days away. How should Matthew Tkachuk handle the Zach Cassian controversy? Should they have Lucic or Rinaldo fight Cassian? Should Tkachuk fight a smaller Edmonton Oilers player, somebody in his weight class? Should he fight Cassian straight up? Or should he do nothing, play a normal game? Well, the one thing that nobody thinks you should do, as only get three people said, fight a smaller player on Edmonton. The next one, 16% of the people, 85 people, said that Lucic should fight or Rinaldo should fight Cassian. 18%, which I fall into this category, and I can't believe I'm saying this. Maybe it's because I'm old-fashioned. I want to prove to the hockey world that Matthew Tkachuk would do it, and that's fight him straight up. 18%, 91 people think that he should just fight him straight up and get it over with. Number four. The winner, 338 votes, 68% of Flames fans think Matthew Tkachuk should do nothing and play his normal game. And you know what? I think that's what'll happen. I think he will go into this game, play his normal game. I don't think he'll be predatory. I think he'll be an aggravator, but I don't think he'll go over the line. And I think he'll probably take Cassian out of his game by getting Cassian to maybe chase around just a little bit.
It'll be interesting to see. I know all Oilers fans and Flames fans are looking forward to a great game on Wednesday night, followed by another great game on Saturday night. Make sure you check out CoolHockey.com. It's your number one source for authentic and customized NHL jerseys. Use promo code THPN and receive 25% off your order. Check out CoolHockey.com.
CoolHockey.com. Jerseys online since 99.
All right, Flames fans, let's quickly preview those two games that we talked about so much on today's show. St. Louis at Calgary Tuesday night. Calgary currently sits 26-19-5, 57 points. Third place in the Pacific Division. St. Louis sits atop the Central Division. This team has been really, really good all year. 68 points, they're 30-11-8. They have met two times this year. Both in November on the 9th, St. Louis beat Calgary in Calgary 3-2. Calgary falls to St. Louis on the 21st, 5-0 in St. Louis. Not too good results against St. Louis this year. I know we're all worried about that Wednesday game. We're worried about the Wednesday game, but we can't forget about the Tuesday game because it will be a good one. It's an important one for the Flames. All these points are critical down the stretch. Wednesday night, we've talked about it a million times. Calgary heads into Rogers for another Battle of Alberta, the third of five this year. Calgary wins both of them earlier this year. December 27th, they beat Edmonton in Edmonton 5-1. The 11th of January in Calgary, they get out with a 4-3 win, the night of the controversy. Right now, Edmonton sits in second in the Pacific. Calgary sits in third, both tied at 57 points. They meet two more times after this one. Saturday night, we talked about, and then April 4th to round out this season. It should be good. I sure appreciate the guys from Oil Country joining me on the show today. I like talking to those guys. They're Oilers guys, and you hate the Oilers. But boy, what a bunch of good guys to talk hockey with. Buckle up. It's going to be a big week in Calgary. Boy, wouldn't it be something to get 4 points? Oh, it would be great. I'm just happy the break's over, and we're back to Flames hockey.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.